no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. Yes, 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.
Yeah, so superhero movies, kind of the driving thing of like the last 15 years of movies, probably. Or not 15.
Not 15.
Since like 97, 98 when Blade came out, it's been like the next big thing.
That's true. When did Batman and Robin come out?
95?
96. That one kind of shot the knees out of the whole concept for a while.
97 for Batman and Robin.
I love how one of the image results that you have is
yeah.
Batman and Robin kissing.
From the cartoon. Like how
when you
that...
Google it, yeah.
Google image search basically hates me. I can't search for anything comic related without getting porn. I think that the descent actually started with Batman Forever. Was that Val Kilmer or George Clooney?
It was Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that one... I don't know, it was too much glam, not enough goth.
Yeah, I remember when Batman came out, mm-hmm. the original Tim Burton one, which I still like best.
Oh, interesting.
And
I think that is the best Bruce Wayne by far.
Yeah. And the first trailer for it, which you probably don't remember because you were bitty at that time, was like car noises.
Yeah.
And on the screen it looked like you were going through like a maze, mm-hmm. hugging the walls, and then it zoomed up and out and it was just the bat symbol.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But the thing is, I was 8.
Are you dating yourself?
Bite me. at the time. And 7 or 8,
mm-hmm.
and still kind of getting the hang of reading,
mm-hmm.
and had never seen the bat symbol before in my life. Like when I went to the movie, I thought it was an original concept.
Yeah.
And when I saw the bat symbol, I didn't see the bat. Like, you know how you see either the candlestick or the two faces?
Mm-hmm.
I just saw the oval and then the little markings around the edges of the oval, and I thought it was some sort of writing that I couldn't read yet. So, yeah, I was that unfamiliar with Batman when it came out, and then I saw the movie. I was just like, I don't know what's going on, but I love this.
It was that. So I knew Batman from the cartoon, the TV show,
animated
Adam
series.
West. No, oh, like the 60s TV show.
Huh.
And that's
Are
when...
you dating yourself?
No. We had reruns. So I was interested, I guess. Like, I didn't really know Batman. I probably didn't read a Batman comic till like, 1994 or something, you know, forever after. But I saw this really interesting article on the internet, the entire internet, the other day about the Batman symbol. And it's how it's officially, like, a glyph, something that can be changed over and over and over, and it's always recognizable as what it is.
Hmm.
And of course, now I can't find it. But the thing that I loved about the 1989 Batman is that, like, Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne was...
7. I would have been 7 when the trailer came out.
Had to get that one in. But he is still, like, my platonic ideal of Batman. Because
mm-hmm.
he's that perfect mix of, like, kind of detached and lazy, but still watching and, like, paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
In the very... I think it's the first time he appears in the movie. There's Vicky Vale and that other guy who reminds me of Judge Reinhold, like, looking at all of his samurai armor.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, this is from blah, 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 blah. And then, like, Bruce Wayne walks in. He's like, oh, what is this? Did I buy this? And it's, like, perfect. It's still, like, what I think of when I think of Bruce Wayne.
No, see, the first time he appeared in the movie was when Vicky Vale was wandering around the party in that ridiculous wedding dress.
Oh, yeah.
Like that massive white dress.
Yeah.
And she's looking for Bruce Wayne because, as a photographer, she would have no access to a photograph of him. And she bumps into him and she says, "Do you know which one of these guys is Bruce Wayne?"
Yeah.
And he kind of freezes and he's, "Well, I'm not sure." And she goes, "Oh, well, thanks." And leaves. And the next time he introduces himself as Bruce Wayne, she's like, "Are you sure?" But, I thought it was interesting in that he plays Bruce Wayne as like an oddball.
Yeah, he's Howard Hughes instead of Paris Hilton.
Yeah. But in most of the comics I've seen and almost all other interpretations, he's like this dapper playboy who goes over the top so much.
Yeah.
And in the Christian Bale one, he's just kind of a jerk.
Yeah. Like, basically James Bond.
Only
Daniel Craig is Batman.
Only no, it's not as fun as James Bond.
It's because Christian Bale is serious all the time.
Yeah. But anyway.
But yeah, Bruce Wayne, he could laugh, yeah. Which I was very fond. He was self-deprecating, kind of. Like, mm-hmm. The thing, like, oh, man, where did I even buy this thing?
He was like the quiet, nerdy, rich guy.
Yeah.
Who you would imagine collected rare coins or something.
Or cars or vintage stamps, yeah. From Rome.
Not cars. Cars would be too cool.
Oh, yeah. Was it Batman Returns that had chicks dig the car? Or was that Forever?
It was the one with George Clooney.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember the comeback line was, "This is why Superman works alone." And I was like, I'm waiting for that to be funny. And I still am.
Wow. But yeah, I actually found the site. I had to dig through the depths of a friend's Twitter. And it has 6 different bat symbols from all of the movies. And they're all, they're pretty different, but they're immediately recognizable.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's interesting that, like, that's the symbol, that's one of the symbols that everyone knows these days.
Mm-hmm.
In part because, like, the branding for Batman in 89 was, like, so strong, it was just the symbol.
Yeah.
Like, they really pushed that pretty hard. Because I didn't even realize that Batman Begins had its own bat symbol. And it's some kind of weird, like, long-tailed bat.
Two-tone.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it looks like, pretty much for the early 90s, save TV movies, Batman was it as far as superhero movies went.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a Captain America movie. There was apparently a Power Pack TV movie, which I didn't know about. It came out in 1991, where they had no costumes and powers were totally different, but it was the Power Pack. So like, I still kind of want to see it. There was the terrible Generation X movie from Fox in like 95, 96, where again, like, everything sucked. So Batman and Robin was in 97. I think Blade was 98. Yeah, Blade was 1998. That was like the first good non-Batman superhero movie that I saw. Mm.
Thing is, I didn't know Blade was a comic when I went to see it.
Yeah.
I don't think most people did.
It's because Blade sucked.
Like, the comic?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's one of those incredibly rare ones where the movie is much, much better than the source material?
Oh, it took Marvel, like, until 2007 to make a good Blade comic. In the 70s, it was written by Marv Wolfman and drawn by Gene Colan, so it's, like, very pretty but dated. Mm-hmm. Like, Marv Wolfman's never been, like, the best to do, like, you know, a comic for the modern day. But, like, the art was amazing, so there was that. So, like, mm-hmm. I guess Colan fans knew Blade. But, like, I knew Blade from Night Stalkers, which was a bad comic where it was Blade, a demon hunter guy, and a vampire who didn't want to be a vampire, so he was a private investigator instead.
Angel.
Hannibal King. Oh, holy crap. And so then Buffy stars Kitty Pryde and Hannibal King as love interests, and that's a little creepy. Oh, and there were a lot of frills in Night Stalkers, too, because it was that weird, like, Victorian gothic thing.
Mm.
So, of course, the demon hunter had, like, ruffled shirts and cuffs, doilies, I don't know.
And people didn't notice?
He also had a giant gun that he named Linda Blair, which shot exorcism lasers. that's not a joke.
It should be, but I guess it isn't. Yeah.
Like, when you say it out loud for the first time, you realize, oh, I had bad taste in comics as a kid. But it was like Marvel used to have this thing where it was a their Supernatural line. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it, but most of it was pretty bad. Mm. And Blade basically came out of that into an awesome movie, and suddenly like people like Blade. Two good movies, Blade 1 and 2. Blade 2 was basically like a first draft of a Hellboy movie, the way it was shot and designed. And then nothing else in the 90s, yeah? The next one was X-Men?
When did Catwoman come out?
How was that, 2003? Like, yeah.
X-Men came out...
2000?
Date myself again, like early college years.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna use this podcast as evidence in court one day.
Yes. And unleashed Hugh Jackman upon a waiting world.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of the few people who liked X-Men 1 better than X-Men 2. Although the opening sequence of X-Men 2
in
with
the White
Nightcrawler
House?
In the White House was fan-freaking-tastic.
That was great. That was... Did they release that online or as a trailer?
I saw it in the movies.
Yeah, same here. But I remember, like, my grandmother is a huge fan of that scene, too. Like, that's when she knew she wanted to sit down and watch a comic book movie. Because before, she didn't care. But she was like, that was pretty cool. But it's... Yeah, I really liked X-Men. But, like, X-Men 2, I felt, had better writing. Mm. Possibly a dumber story, which doesn't exactly add up. But, like, I love dialogue. So that's my thing. But those were fun. I liked how it... made the X-Men not look like idiots in terms of costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the black leather worked.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's why I keep thinking Captain America cannot work as a movie. Because, I mean, the guy's wearing a red and white striped corset, basically, and wings
chain
on his head.
Chainmail corset.
Well, that makes it better.
Yeah.
And wings on his head.
Yeah.
That can work in a comic because we're used to seeing it and because... That's just the way comics are.
Mm-hmm.
But that just can't work in a movie.
I think
there's no way you could do that
it.
And not make it look ridiculous.
Well, like, the Ultimate Captain America, basically, he wears, like, military pants, like, fatigues, mm-hmm. though they don't have camo pattern, and, like, body armor in the same shapes. I think that's probably what they're going to roll with once he gets out of World War II, which I'm hoping is actually in the movie. But it's funny, like, translating...
See, I'm hoping they do a Wonder Woman World War II movie.
Oh, I'd watch it.
Because that could be really good.
Yeah. But they'd have to find a really good writer. Like, I'd almost rather that be written by someone who does war movies, like, as a specialty, instead of just a normal, you know, comic book writer or you know, action writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Michael Bay's Wonder Woman World War II...
Oh, God.
It'd probably be, like...
I'm stunned.
Yeah, like... I don't know, like, lowest common denominator style fascinating, but not any good at all.
Yeah.
But, like, translating comics to movies is always weird, because some designs work. Like, actually, Jack Kirby's designs, for some reason, work really well on the screen. Like, Fantastic Four, like, their normal costumes translated pretty well. The Hulk, like, jeez.
Purple pants.
Yeah. Like, one little bit of corniness, and it ties it all together, and he's just a giant green dude. But, like, the X-Men, you know, the Jim Lee designs, or Jim Lee Descended designs were, like, the big thing when that came out. So it's all, like, bright yellow and blue.
Yeah.
And you just look dumb. It doesn't work. Though I wasn't as fond of the Mystique, Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know why she had to be, like, naked and spiky. Because, like, I knew Mystique mostly from the cartoon, where she had...
The,
like,
white dress.
The white dress, like the little skull head thing. I don't know what that was, now that I'm thinking about
the
it.
The little jewel thing.
Yeah. I thought that would
work.
Yeah,
but I mean, that kind of worked in that she needed to morph into something, and also the other figures wore clothes.
Yeah.
You could kind of...
You'd never have to ask, like, wait, is she walking around naked all this time?
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that she is. But yeah, so then I think it went X-Men, then Spider-Man, and then what? Catwoman came around on
Catwoman.
There.
Catwoman.
You know, I still haven't seen that.
It's just so unfortunate.
I think I just saw the scene with the roller coaster.
The thing is, it goes for that whole bad girl thing,
mm-hmm.
where she's a bad girl because she wears leather pants. And, I don't know, does the vamping thing, but she doesn't do anything bad.
Yeah.
You're like, that's just, it feels like no one paid attention to any comic book version of her at all.
And that came out after the Ed Brubaker, Darwyn Cook revamp, right?
Yes. Which is why it's so very unfortunate.
Yeah. Jeez.
But,
yeah, so I skipped Catwoman. Like, I think my grandparents were in it.
You're like, that's just gonna break my heart.
No, just like, I didn't know the Brubaker Cook Catwoman existed at that point. So I assumed, like, oh, Jim Valent comics, whatever. You know, I'll watch that never. I think my grandparents were in it, and I walked in on, like, there's something where she's on a roller coaster and there's a backflip. Maybe. I don't know. And I was like, oh, Catwoman, I'll be in the other room.
One, the final climax is she literally just walks between bars.
Wow.
That's her cat power, being really, really skinny and walking between bars.
Though that anticlimax reminds me of the other great unsung comic book franchise,
mm-hmm.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ah.
Because I am, like, inexplicably fond of that entire franchise.
I remember thinking that they were really, really cool when I was a kid and watching the original series.
Yeah.
And you just, that's the best theme song ever.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But they had
Turtle Power.
The movies.
I'm gonna be thinking about that all day now.
When did that start? Because they were comics first. Like, they were like the first true breakout indie hit.
See, I thought they were. They in themselves were kind of a parody of Frank Miller's Batman.
It's Daredevil, actually. It's like half parody, half sequel, because mm-hmm. the ooze that turned them into turtles was the radioactive isotope that blinded Daredevil when he pushed the old man out of the way. So some of it fell down into the sewer, and then they were mutated, and then they became Ninja Turtles. But, when was the first movie? 1990 was when the first Ninja Turtles movie came out.
Wow, so almost. I mean, they would have had to have started it before Batman came out.
And that, like, as a kid, I could watch that movie all day. And I can't find it now, but there's a picture of me, like, pretty young, getting the cassette tape for my birthday.
You're like,
ah! Yeah. Like, freaking out. And it was one of my, I rewatched them because I was bored, like, maybe a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still, like,
because
very endearing.
Bored.
Well, and maybe I watched the new Ninja Turtles Forever that same weekend. It was reminiscing weekend, pretty much. But they're still, like, they're not perfect, but they've got a lot of charm for their time. They're very much, like, of, like, the early 90s. Cowabunga, all that stuff. But, like, the costuming, just something about it, it works.
But, oh, wait, and then there was, in the 90s, Steel.
Oh, yeah, with Shaq.
Yeah.
When did that come out?
That was not
1997,
good.
So the same year as the last Batman movie.
DC like, you had know, what the hell with this?
DC had a really bad 97.
I just imagine seeing people who were there at the time, there's like a little dead spot behind their eyes. Because they've seen things that they can never unsee.
And you know Shaq must have been super depressed when he finally realized he'd been in one of the worst superhero movies ever. Because he's a huge Superman fan, so he's like, finally, I get to be John Henry Irons, who's kind of like Superman. And then he's like,
but,
oh.
Do you think that in these movies, people actually believe that they're making a good movie? I mean, the Bat credit card.
I think that once you get going, it's really hard to justify stopping. Because, like,
no, I mean, not just stopping, but being like, well, crap, it's a bad movie.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't even remember half of Steel. Like, there was that and Kazam around the same time, I think. Or I saw them around the same time or something. Yeah, Kazan was 96. Shaq had a bad 96 and 97. But yeah, there was Ninja Turtles I really like. Even when they went to the past and they were in feudal Japan and it was dumb, I still enjoyed it. Daredevil was a pretty bad movie.
Yeah.
Elektra was worse because they brought in Typhoid Mary and she was just like generic whatever ninja girl.
Yeah.
And of course I can't find a Ninja Turtles picture now because I'm looking on my Flickr. But what came after Elektra? That was like 04?
Could it be Dark Knight? No, Spider-Man. Spider-Man had to come out.
Oh, Spider-Man 2 was around then, I think.
Yeah. I only watched the first Spider-Man movie. That got me in my Sherlock Holmes place, where it's just like, finish the first movie before you make the second movie.
Spider-Man 2 is good, but if you think about it at all, there's serious, serious problems with, like, Dr. Octopus doing nuclear experiments in, like, downtown Manhattan.
Well, I think they did it in Chicago when they started out. When they first had the first nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
It was, I think, underneath the University of Chicago.
Oh,
and
man.
Do you know how they saved it? Do you know how they saved it?
No.
They had...
They fed a freshman?
Yes, kind of.
Oh, goodness.
They basically had the reactor going, and then, but they actually had an intern.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple pulley, and an intern or, like, a lower down person at the lab held the one end of the pulley, and then the carbon rod was suspended over the reactor on the other side of the pulley. And if it started giving off too much radiation, it would kill the intern. Who would let go of the rope?
Yeah.
That would drop the rod into it and stop the reaction.
Was the intern, like, fully aware that...
I imagine so.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah. Like, that is a real wake-up call as to your place in the hierarchy.
Jeez. Yeah, that's wild. But yeah, Spider-Man 2, it's good. Spider-Man can't keep his mask on for anything.
Yeah, Spider-Man 1, Kirsten Dunst was peeling it off his face. You can see why he would go.
Yeah.
Just be like, okay.
There's a bit where his mask just breaks while he's rescuing a subway train. And it just, like, the tension or something of him pulling the train to a stop, like, splits his costume and his mask is like, oh, you can see my entire face except for one eye.
Yeah.
And the entire subway train is like, it's okay, Spider-Man. We trust you and believe in you.
Oh, I remember that. And, like, a little kid returns his mask.
Yeah.
Like, it's the baseball that he hit a record number of home runs with. They're like, this belongs to you.
And nobody has a camera phone. That's how you can tell it was, like, 2002, 2003.
But, yeah, I think Spider-Man movies, in a way. Oh, is that?
Oh, that's... A birthday picture, but it's not the right one.
Yeah, that's not a video. Anyway, the Spider-Man franchise kind of let people know that there was money to be made off superheroes, like serious money to be made.
X-Men 1 cost like $75 million and made $300. But I think Spider-Man is almost in the billion-dollar club.
Yeah.
Like, across three movies.
And... It's not just that, it's like kids loved it.
Yeah.
Didn't that start an animated series again?
Oh yeah, on MTV.
Yeah.
And which had Neil Patrick Harris as Spider-Man. And it was this weird, like...
Did he sing?
I don't think he sang.
Waste. A waste, I tell you.
And it was weird because it... was kind of like an ultimate take, like Brian Michael Bendis that wrote the pilot or something like that, and it wasn't very well received, but it was one of those ones that's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see where they were going with it, but the animation was interesting. So it was 3D but sort of like cel shaded almost. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I thought I had the box set, but I don't remember where I put it. But the voice work was all, it was either like really great or it was like Rob Zombie as the Lizard. Because it was on MTV. Yeah, Spider-Man has made $1.1 billion domestic.
Good
worldwide,
God!
$2.4 billion. So yeah, it's basically the lowest it's ever grossed is 336.
They could literally buy several countries.
Yeah, definitely.
And just shove a cassette tape of Spider-Man 3 in their hands and be like, you're welcome.
Yeah. No, Spider-Man 3, that was rough. Like, I'll say Gavin is the Venom fan. Like, I kind of like him sometimes when he's good. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was looking forward to seeing Venom on the screen, and Spider-Man 3 was just, like, all of your worst nightmares.
I just remember seeing the clip where he gets in a fight, and he doesn't mean to push Mary Jane, but he does.
Yeah.
And that's a big moment. Like, I've seen that so many times.
It's... There was, So, Hank Pym is known for being, like, the superhero wife beater.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting is that Spider-Man has hit his wife the exact number of times as Hank Pym. But Hank Pym doesn't have superpowers. Mm. So, technically, Spider-Man, much worse. And also, the Wasp wasn't pregnant. So, but I managed to find the Ninja Turtles picture. And you can kind of see.
Oh my god, I can see your tonsils.
I'm gonna have to put this on the page and embarrass myself forever. But, I was a Ninja Turtles fan.
You. Oh, that's adorable. But you have, like, the pageant kid smile, where no matter how big you smile, your eyes are still wide open.
I don't know
so
how
you're
that
not, like,
out.
Squinting.
Yeah. If I closed my eyes, I couldn't see the video cassette.
Were you a pageant kid?
I wasn't. But apparently my cousin was, judging by that dress. This must have been when we were in Texas. It feels like 1990. But, yeah, good times. After Spider-Man, I guess the next... There was probably one or two bad... There was the weird Australian-New Zealand man thing that was set in Louisiana, but everyone talked like Crocodile Dundee. It came... It was supposed to get a theatrical release, then it was canceled, like, shortly before, and then it came out on the Sci-Fi Channel a year later. So you can guess how quality it was. Like, they used the entire dry ice budget of Hollywood in that movie. They're not, did I say Swamp Thing?
Yes.
I meant Man Thing. The Marvel Swamp Thing.
Maybe you did say Man Thing.
I don't know. Listeners, I'm very sorry if you just heard me say Man Thing, like, four times in a row. Star of the book Giant Size Man Thing, which never stops being funny.
I did not get that until you.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where, like, you can tell the past was truly innocent. Because no one noticed. But there was one of those. There was Punisher with Thomas Jane, which wasn't too bad.
Oh. Yeah. It was directly from off that.
Welcome back, Frank.
Story?
Yeah, it was Ennis. They moved it to Florida and added John Travolta. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, give or take.
Speaking of Ennis.
What was next?
I thought Kick-Ass. Ennis wrote Kick-Ass.
No, that's Mark Miller. Ennis actually writes good books sometimes.
Oh. Okay, never mind then.
But what came
out? Oh, Ennis wrote The Boys. There we go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, people. It's the Ennis, Ellis, Millar. I get them
Lee,
mixed
Lee.
Up.
Actually, Lee, because there's Stan, Jim, and Jay. And as kids, we didn't know if they were related or not, because, you know, you're young and dumb, last names mean relations. We didn't know that, like, one was Jewish, one was Korean. I think another is Korean, but, like, 10 years younger than the other. But Punisher, it was good, but Man on Fire was a better Punisher movie with Denzel Washington.
It doesn't get points deducted for Dakota Fanning?
She disappeared like halfway through the movie, so it was okay. And I guess after that is the big deal of Batman Begins.
Yeah, which, I don't know, it just didn't. Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Batman is an emo teenager.
The haircut was great.
Katie Holmes is the baby attorney. And the thing is, I know that she's actually of age to be a junior
lawyer.
Yeah.
Well, it's
district
like
district attorney, but she looks 12.
It's like not Veronica. I don't want to call her Veronica Mars. Kristen Bell.
Mm.
And
or Tobey Maguire, for that matter.
Yeah. and Buffy and Tobey Maguire, they all look like 10 years younger than they actually are. So sometimes you feel kind of dumb going like, look, she's like 18 and she already has a 6-year-old kid and she's Lois Lane. What is the deal? Superman Returns, not quite as big of a deal as Batman Begins.
Yeah. And I guess they're not to my taste, but they're quality movies.
I don't know what Superman Returns was.
Honestly, I really liked that.
Huh.
I thought, was it Brandon Routh?
Yeah.
I felt like he took the biggest beating I've ever seen for the crime of not being Christopher Reeve.
That's probably fair.
I mean, and he was good. You'd think that someone who looks that much both like Superman and like
I think it was the good previous casting. Movie, it's just the
Superman would not be able to handle it, but I thought he was good. He was just kind of sweet and still had that kind of goofy sense of humor.
I feel like the script was probably a little bit too dark.
Yeah.
For like a Return of Superman movie.
But aren't they doing a even darker Superman movie in the works?
I just assume that's one of those rumors that'll never happen. The Justice League movie.
Yeah.
But I think that Luthor shanking Superman with a kryptonite dagger was pretty amazing. That was probably the highlight of that movie. No, actually, Superman stopping a bullet with his eyeball was the highlight of the movie. But the kryptonite shank was pretty good.
How about the, what is it, 5-year-old, 6-year-old son, asthmatic son of Superman murdering someone with a piano?
Oh, that's right.
He's a kid!
It's okay to murder if you didn't mean it.
He meant it.
Man. Yeah. That's something else. They keep sneaking in, like, really hardcore deaths in superhero movies.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, that's kind of lame. But then I remember in comics it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Batman basically kills dudes at least once a year. Where, like, they're falling off a cliff and they're like, don't save me, and he yanks her hand out of his hand or something.
Yeah. Or...
or there's a burning train and he goes, I don't have to save you.
Yeah. Or he comes close to killing someone. He's like, oh, that's it!
Yeah. And Nightwing or someone is like, wait, stop, you're better than this. And he stops and goes, yes, I am better than this.
And considering it's all happening in mushed together time, okay, comic book time never makes any sense.
Yeah.
But that must be happening every other month.
That's why the criminals actually fear
Batman. You just almost killed a guy. We have to do this again? How fast can you build up steam? But, when Batman Begins and then The Dark Knight came out, I felt like, honestly,
it's not your Batman?
Not really, but it's a Batman I can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Or not deal with. It's a Batman I can enjoy.
Yeah.
But the phenomenal success, even as it's happening, I feel like it's like watching The Dark Knight Returns coming out and saying, this is great, but this is going to spawn 1,000 dark.
Oh, and there was a Spawn movie with Michael Jai White. We're not going to talk about that one, though. But yeah, once they started announcing the slate of, like, you know, dark and gritty as the new face of DC superhero movies, I was like, you know, I've been there. I read those comics in 1989.
Yeah. There are different tones, and there's a way to make things good while using those different tones.
Yeah. I'm hoping and praying that the Captain Marvel movie actually gets made. Like the Shazam?
Mm-hmm.
With The Rock as Black Adam and...
and that it's good?
Yeah, and that it's good, of course. Patrick Warburton as Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. Because it would be like the perfect superhero for kids fun movie.
See, what I'd like is a Wonder Woman movie that's a war movie, but it's also like war movies from the 40s.
So propaganda type stuff, or?
Not propaganda. More... I mean, it feels... in many ways, people would say it's wrong to edit out the horrible parts of the war.
Mm-hmm.
But like the old... like the Judy Garland musicals that were set during like World War II.
Oh, yeah.
But they just had a certain upbeat tone.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like a greatest war sort of World War II movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of an innocence to them. Mm-hmm. They, I feel like that could really work, because that's kind of where Wonder Woman works. Mm-hmm. Best for me.
That'd be interesting. I still think... So, like, I would watch a Sergeant Rock movie. Mm-hmm. I would just, like, straight up, like, 30 dozen, whatever.
Yeah.
Just done in, like, the style of an actual war movie, and they just happen to have, like, funny names. I'd be totally okay with that. I would be more than okay with that, actually. But I, Wonder Woman in World War II, I don't know if I've read or seen any stories with her in World War II. I haven't read any of the, like, the old Wonder Woman stuff from the 40s or 50s. So, like, that part is kind of foreign to me. Mm-hmm. But I think with the Wonder Woman I like, where she's... Basically, she's going to bring peace by beating up a whole bunch of people. Like, I think that would fit very well in a war movie.
I also like that in Wonder Woman... Like, Wonder Woman's idea, they do a lot of... She goes out into man's world and is shocked at the sexism. Mm-hmm. I feel like a part of her would just not even understand it. Mm. Like, you know how you might go to another culture and they say, oh, you're too tall, or you're too something like that, and you realize that people think you're unattractive, but it's not something you've internalized, so you just are confused.
Like, just bewildered.
All right. Like, that's how she would feel. Also, the 1940s were pretty good time, feminism-wise, for women, and that, you know, they needed women to work.
With the,
Rosie the Riveter. Yeah. I mean, there was still undoubtedly sexism, but there was just so much, it was so necessary that everyone work, that some of it, that went up.
Evened out, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. I will say...
So, where she just goes out and... doesn't understand the catcalls because of her outfit, just walks up to them, like the 6'2" woman, and says, oh, I'm sorry, I think you were trying to get my attention, like a straight line.
Yeah, like, oh, thank you, I appreciate it. Is the whistle a traditional greeting in your culture? So a little bit of fish out of water?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. But when they overdo it and she's just like 100% naive.
Yeah.
That's a little, I don't know. But my one wish for, like, any upcoming superhero movie, no more origin stories. Like, just get to it. Because I think I talked to you about this before, but, like, Hulk, Batman, Superman, and maybe Spider-Man, definitely Wonder Woman, never need an origin story again.
Yeah.
Because either everyone already knows it, or it's something you can put in, like, 30 seconds while the credits
at the
are going.
Beginning. Yeah.
You know, give us, like, get someone to draw, like, the Spider-Man movies had Alex Ross doing the credit sequences. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not an Alex Ross fan, but that was pretty clever because it's a recap and it looks really nice and it's interesting.
Yeah.
The new Hulk movie did the same thing and recapped, like, the first movie in about 2 minutes. And, like, that's just get right to the story where they're not unsure of themselves. They're not like, oh, my costume probably looks like crap, I should re-sew it or something.
Yeah.
Just get to the action and, you know, superheroes doing super things.
Yeah.
Though I guess Superman Returns skipped an origin story. I think. I don't know.
Well, Superman Returns was after all those other movies.
So. Yeah.
So or was set after all those other movies. So coming up, The Losers.
Yes. Based on a Vertigo comic by Andy Diggle and Jock, who I guess that's just his name. One name.
All right.
But it's basically the A-Team versus the CIA, which is kind of unfortunate because the A-Team trailer premiered like a week before the Losers trailer. But it's a little more, it's like got a
living
little bit
up
diehard.
To their name.
Yeah, seriously. But it's going to be kind of funny. The cast is really great. Mm-hmm. The main guy was apparently in Watchmen, which I still haven't seen because it's, so I haven't seen Watchmen and Avatar for the exact same reason. It's because they're like 3 hours long. And I guess there are blue people in both, which probably makes me a racist. But
they're only naked in one.
Oh, that's true. But apparently there is like a weird sex scene in Avatar. I don't know.
No, that was cut.
Oh, okay.
But it, like, the script for it went around the internet.
Oh, that's what it was.
From, like, blue people having sex? Weird hair sex?
I just remember an interview with James Cameron. I was reading about the tech stuff in Avatar, because that's interesting. And it was in Playboy, and he's like, yeah, you know, we spent so much time modeling alien boobs. Like, when you see the Avatar girl, I want you to go, wow, this girl is super hot. And I was like, oh, goodness gracious. Like, isn't James Cameron 60 years old?
Well, he's modeling his style to the publication.
Yeah. I sounded so sincere, though. But The Losers is pretty much, there's a special forces team. They were doing an operation in Afghanistan and were betrayed by the CIA. Mm-hmm. So they come back to the States and they're like, we're going to kill the CIA.
All of them.
Well, there's one guy they're going for, but basically it's like good guys are the losers, bad guys are the CIA. Mm-hmm. The books are really good. There's 5 volumes that are out now and complete story, and it's just like an action movie on comic paper. Hmm. And also pretty funny. Like, they're not afraid to just kind of entertain themselves with the concept. There's a bit in the trailer, which is also like directly from the book, where one guy gets, I guess, caught by security forces in a high-rise. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wait, stop, listen, I've got telekinesis. And they're like, oh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, you've seen Akira, watch this. And he points his finger and goes, bang, and one guy falls. And he points his other finger and goes, bang, and another guy falls. The other guy is like, oh, I'm sorry, I give up. I put my gun down on the ground. And he does like the okay sign, and it zooms into his finger and towards the window behind him, there's a hole in the window. The opposite skyrise has a sniper friend. And he's like, you know, Denada, like, you're like, you're welcome. And it's just like everything you wanted to see in an action movie. Like, an atomic bomb goes off in one issue. Just consistently upping the ante. And it's just a treat. Like, it's a really good read. And horrifically violent. And the movie looks like it's going to have a lot of that same humor and style. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to the A-Team, because there's a bit where they parachute in a tank out of a plane that just blew up, and they use the tank to shoot at the jets that are shooting at them in midair. So that's going to be good. But after that, like, I guess a week after, April 16th, is Kick-Ass.
Just drawn by
John Romita Jr. Written by Miller. And drawn by John Romita Jr., doing like some of the best work of his career on one of the worst comics I've ever read.
See, okay, I only know about Kick-Ass what I've read on Scans Daily.
Yeah.
And it just seems, I can't believe I'm going to say this, really unpleasant.
Yeah. It's kind of a soft sell.
Just everyone's mean, and everyone hates everyone else, and everyone hates everything.
Yeah. Well, you've read Ultimates, right?
Yes.
You know how they were all kind of jerks?
Yeah.
It's basically like Miller writes misanthropes. Mm. And the story about the kid who gets a superhero costume, and he is, of course,
a jerk.
Yeah,
but there's a difference between a misanthrope in a story.
Yeah.
And every single character being misanthropic in a story.
Yeah, that's true. Kick-Ass is definitely every single character. Because, like, I read the first couple. Like, I wanted to read it because I love John Romita Jr. Mm-hmm. And I read the first couple, and I was just completely turned off. Mm. And then I read the last one because a friend was like, dude, you've got to read it. It's so racist. And I skimmed it, and yeah, it pretty much was.
Ooh.
But
see, I saw the last bit on Scans Daily where it ends up, basically the whole concept is this guy thinks he's going to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Because he's a fanboy. And at first it looks like it's going well for him, and then he completely gets slapped down.
And tortured.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And girl he likes hates him, and various other, again, unpleasant things happen. And then he just sits home alone thinking about how much of a loser he is, and that's the end. And someone on Scans Daily commented that the character's name, mm-hmm. which I have forgotten, is
it's Dave
the name
something.
Of a fan who won a contest to be a character in. That, again, just seems pointlessly mean.
It's, well, Miller does this thing where...
I mean, maybe the fan is, I mean, loves it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're okay with it. But he, basically, Miller's...
It's like, oh, you want to be a character? I will make you the most pathetic, disgusting character of all time.
He pretty much did.
Happy, or congratulations.
Yeah, but the contest is for charity, because I think Miller's brother or some acquaintance runs, like, a hospital for children. Mm-hmm. So pretty much, you, like, bid on getting your name into the book, and all the money goes to this hospital, and then you're a jerk for the rest of your life. So it's, like, for a good cause, but it's still, you're kind of like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just thoroughly unpleasant. And there's a bit where, did you see the little girl, Hit Girl?
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning, I guess. No, she's not Dakota Fanning.
No, she's played by Nicolas Cage's daughter, I think.
Is that his real daughter?
I thought it was his real daughter. They made a big deal about how it's his real daughter, and then he's a cameo as her father, playing her father in the film.
Oh, no, they're in the movie, they're father and daughter, like, extended. Like, that's part of, like, the plot of the movie, but I don't think they're actually related.
Oh, man.
I don't know, whichever. Look it up on the internet. But, I guess spoilers for the book. Nicolas Cage's character gets shot in the face in front of her and dies. And she's like, you know, okay, blah, blah, blah. So she gets her swords and she's chopping dudes up and she's freaking out. And she pulls out this vial and she's like, my dad said this was, you know, a super potion that'll give me super strength for however many minutes, blah, blah, blah. And the guy, Kick-Ass Dave, is like, is that cocaine? And she's like, no, idiot, it was made by scientists. And then she snorts it. Mm. Like, that's the level of sophistication you'll find in that book. I mean, pretty much the movie just looks...
I'm just saying, the movie looks like kids cursing and killing people.
Yeah.
And kids cursing was done in Jerry Maguire. And kids killing people was done in Superman Returns. It's not the best pedigree. I'm only saying that.
But I think it's going to probably do very well because it's going to be funny. I'm like, ha, ah, that little girl said a bad word. But I'm just a snob, so... But on a brighter note, Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
Did you see Iron Man?
I saw Iron Man.
Okay.
I think we saw Iron Man in the same group of people.
Giant posses of San Francisco comic book fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, part two, I'm pretty interested. Like, the trailer was good.
Part of the trailer I liked. Other parts where Tony Stark goes up in front of Senate subcommittee, yeah, and just says, I'm not giving you the suit, it's a prosthesis, it's part of me, yay me, I privatized world peace, and then for some reason everyone in the entire auditorium starts clapping.
Yeah,
that's a little fanfic for me, or like someone telling the story about how someone was a jerk in line and they said something great back to them, and then the entire, you know, everyone around them was like, yeah, you're like, you're making that up.
Yeah.
I feel confident because in the first Iron Man movie, Tony Stark was overconfident and kind of a jerk, and then completely got slapped around because it made it pretty clear that it's not... Him being a jerk is not the result of him just being right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also very smart, and he's also right a lot of the time, but in these specific ways, he's just being obnoxious, and that makes him wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it'll go that way in the second movie as well.
It looks like...
I'm the awesomest ever.
I think people are going to buy into the Iron Man thing, but then Whiplash, the Mickey Rourke guy, who is Russian all of a sudden... is going to be the one to slap him down in public and almost kill him. And that's going to start, like, the change. But one thing I really liked about the trailer was the appearance of War Machine. And, like, Don Cheadle in the gray costume.
The silver one, yeah.
Yeah. See, I didn't like him at all until probably, like, a year and a half ago. Even as a kid, like, I thought he was lame. He was just the Black Iron Man with guns. Like, come on. And I tried to read his comic this past, I guess, a couple weekends ago. It wasn't good in the 90s. Hmm. He would kill someone, and then he would spend three issues talking about how he killed someone, and then he would kill someone again. but like
woe is War Machine.
Pretty much. Like, what is the line between a hero and a killer? You know, I've killed so many bad people. And then someone's like, well, you gotta work through that. He's like, I can't work through it. I'm sad. It was just dire, you know. But the reveal in the trailer was like perfect. Where it's cut to the very end, and then it's like a split second, and it's just them in their helmets, and then the helmets come down, and then it's just them fighting.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good way to get someone excited.
Yeah.
Then again, like, Iron Man has had really great trailers.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
I think more so than probably any superhero movie.
And in some ways that I hold out hope for that, because it's not a dark movie.
Yeah.
It has dark parts, but it's not priding itself on being grim and gritty.
It's still about a rich dude being like, super drunk.
Yeah. This is so awesome. A little bit of action, a little bit of seriousness, and then back to having fun.
Yeah. And bless Gwyneth Paltrow, too. Like, Pepper Potts. Because it looks like her role has been beefed up for the sequel.
Yeah.
Which I like.
She did get a job with it.
Yeah. Even running in, like, the 6-inch heels.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Running in across a metal grate.
Comics, often she does a lot, but almost every time I've seen her, she's just been kind of Tony's backup, long-suffering backup.
Yeah.
Whereas in the movie, they're kind of in love with each other. Yeah. But when it's in the movie, she's just like,
I know you too well.
This could be great if you were a different person, but you're not. So yeah. It's just not going to work.
I'm sure part two will end with that changing because, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But recently in the comics, she's gotten a step up. There was a book called The Order, which Matt Fraction did, where she was basically Oracle. Hmm. Which is kind of funny because she's a redhead with freckles and glasses. But she had like a
Oracle
headset thing that made
freckles.
Her smart. Really?
Hmm. She never sees the sun.
That's fair. But when that book was canceled, she was brought into the proper Iron Man book.
Yeah.
And she was more of a, I guess less of a Gal Friday, mm-hmm. and more of not quite an equal. Like, he gave her her own Iron Man suit, mm-hmm. which had boobs for some reason.
Because it's Tony.
Yeah, like, I just, having talked about this with other people, like, if he makes these suits by hand, that is so creepy. Just like hammer and chisel.
Polish.
That's something else. Like in comics, in movies, whatever, no more robots with boobs. Because it looks so dumb. Especially if it's not like a robot suit. Like if it's just a normal robot, there's no reason for that. Any. But yeah, Iron Man I think is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And what's left this year? No more Marvel movies this year after Iron Man. So we get Thor and Captain America next year. Kenneth Branagh's Thor. Like, who thought that would have ever happened?
Shakespeare not paying too well?
I don't know. Shakespeare's public domain. Like, the profits must be instantaneous on that. But I think Marvel has a pretty amazing strategy for movies, which is throw everything at the wall in, like, every possible superhero genre. And something's gonna stick.
Yeah.
But they've, like, fully cast Thor at this point. I forget who he is, but he, like, the Thor cast looks like it should be, pretty much. Though Idris Elba is playing a guy who looked like Robin Hood in the comics. Hmm. Or actually, he looked like Green Arrow. Fandral, the dashing. And he's basically Green Arrow with a fencing sword.
I hope you save that picture to your desktop, because if you have to go through it all again to...
Oh, no, yeah, I'll find it. But Marvel has Marvel Studios, where they actually control, or they don't control, rather, but they take a big part in the actual making of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's pretty much just like a ladies. He's basically Green Arrow, now that I'm saying it out loud. And he's a blonde dude with bad facial hair.
Every single thing you say makes him sound more like Green Arrow.
Behind him, you can kind of see the rest of the Warriors 3, which is Volstagg the Voluminous and Grim Hogan, or Hogan the Grim. And it's like... Green Arrow, a fat guy, and Genghis Khan all hanging out in Asgard. Like, they never explained why they're partners, but, you know, it's a pretty good team up. But I think Thor will be a really interesting movie.
It kind of depends. there are kind of two versions of Thor. One where he's entirely
mythological.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other where he's just like this guy who turns into Thor every once in a while.
Yeah.
I like the mythological one better.
Yeah, I mean, because Jack Kirby's Asgard is like future mythology. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's like, it looks super high tech, but it's like a castle, you know? And it's like really attractive design. It's not just, you know, Lord of the Rings with frost giants instead of
orcs.
Yeah, orcs.
Or Balrogs.
Balrogs are pretty awesome.
You shall not pass.
But from what the biggest rumor so far is that there's a Thor story that would make it very easy to go from the super mythological to the super heroic mm-hmm. in time for the Avengers movie, mm-hmm. which is that Thor is basically a jerk. And Odin is like, listen, you need to learn humility, so I'm going to bind you to a human being or turn you into a human. And then that's when he becomes Donald Blake and he transforms to Thor and back and all that.
Huh, okay.
That and that's work. Like perfect segue, and it's already built in, so. But my highest hope for like the next 3 or 4 years of comic book movies, Captain America. And like, it would be so easy to screw up, but if they get it right, mm-hmm. I think it could be really good. It's actually to the point where me and friends have hashed out trailers for Captain America. Like, what would make the best trailer? Mm-hmm. And you have your normal, like, war movie trailer, like the first 30 seconds are just people fighting, and then they're like, oh, we're getting overrun, and then you see the shield come in and hit like 3 guys in a row, and then you see a hand catch the shield, and then it cuts to black, and it's just like, you know, 2010 or 2011 or whatever, and all you need to know. Plus Captain America could punch Hitler. if Quentin Tarantino can kill Hitler in a movie, then Captain America can definitely punch Hitler and
just
get away
punching,
with it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to change history for that. That actually happened. But yeah, so what else do you have? Where is there anything you're looking forward to?
You know, I'm a Bat fan, and they're really chugging along with that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it takes a slight shift in tone. Or not entirely. I can deal with more of these movies. I can enjoy them.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that won't be one note from now on.
Yeah. Less nihilism, more heroism.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious coming from me.
You believe in nothing, man. And yeah, I guess I would like the Wonder Woman movie. I would like a female comic book starring movie where that could be fun and awesome and just really tied to the comics that started it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I wonder if Marvel's going to beat DC to like a big name female movie. Because there's always a chance of like the Black Widow spinning off from Iron Man. Mm. Oh, it's Scarlett Johansson, so it's like 50-50 as to whether she'll be good or not. But like apparently there's, I want to say Miss Marvel has been licensed. It was basically Marvel's Wonder Woman anyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll change her costume because, like, the One Piece bathing suit doesn't work. Well, the One Piece bathing suit plus the inexplicable sash. I don't know. It'll be an interesting few years, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, with both companies being bought by, or not bought, rather, Marvel was bought and DC was reorganized to be a bigger part of Warner Brothers. Like, it's clear, like, everyone knows comic books are, like, going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. If they keep making them good.
Yeah. That's the most important part. Cause like Fantastic Four was not bad. It was like a really family-friendly superhero mm-hmm. movie, but it wasn't like good for the fans, I guess.
No.
But there's like a middle ground that you can definitely hit.
Silver Surfer was not good.
No. But like the Human Torch and Thing were perfect. Like they were I would watch a Thing and Human Torch, call it Marvel 2-in-1, and make it a TV show. And it's just them teaming up every week.
It's just the odd couple only with superpowers.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, like, I like seeing superhero movies. I want them to get into some of the different comics. Like, Daredevil should have been a crime movie instead of whatever in the world that was. Like, Colin Farrell as Bullseye was great, but...
Like, I don't even know what I'm watching.
But, like, Gotham Central is a TV show.
Oh, that would be a fantastic TV show.
there's so much you can do because now, like, superhero comics specifically aren't just, like, superhero stories.
Yeah.
Like, if you want your day-glow, bright Batman, you can read that. If you want your gritty, depressing Batman, you can read Streets of Gotham. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of potential.
That's a good way to end.
Yeah, we'll go on a high note. I won't mention that the Deathlock movie might suck.
No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.